Okay, I'm going to start with the mess with some ideas that I mentioned actually, I think last year, but I want to take it a step further this year. Now, this week's Sedra is Parshas Yisro. And in Parshas Yitzro, the Torah tells us about how Yitzro came. It talks the way Chazal understand it about the Geiris, the conversion of Yitzro. There is a discussion whether Yitzro came before Matan Torah or he came after Matan Torah. And the Torah tells us by Yisaper Moshe Lechosno. Eis kol asher osa Hashem lefaro ulemitzrayim al ados Yisrael es kol hatlo asher mitzosam baderech vayatzilem Hashem. So Moshe told his father-in-law everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to Paro in Egypt for the sake of Klal Yisrael, for the sake of the Jewish people, all the trouble that befallen them on the way, and that Hashem had rescued them. And the Torah tells us here, the Rashi says, by Yisaper Moshe Lechosno, Moshe told his father-in-law about all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all that God did for the Jewish people, and about Yetzias Mitzrayim, about the Exodus from the Egypt. So Rashi says, Limshoch es libo lekarva laTorah, to draw his interest, to bring him close to Torah. Now, I raise the question, the halacha is that we're not supposed to encourage somebody to go through Geiris, to go through conversions. We don't proselytize. We do not go out seeking converts. And the contrary, the halacha is that if somebody wants to convert, certainly under normal conditions, the halacha is you have to try to persuade him not to undergo conversion. But if he persists, then, and the Beis Din thinks that he would be a good convert and that he would be committed to Torah and to mitzvos, so then the Beis Din can convert him. From the Medrash Rabbah in on Rus, it seems that a person should do we push them away three times. But in the halacha, we don't find the number three as being significant. But we try to dissuade them, certainly under normal conditions, for undergoing conversion. And so the question is, so what does it mean? What does Rashi mean? Limshoch es libo, to draw his interest. To draw his interest, lekarva laTorah, to bring him close to Torah. How are we to understand that? The halach is, if a person comes, when a ger comes, is the expression of Rashi, of the Rambam, but just that, just to try to draw his interest. To encourage him to undergo Geiris, that seems to be against the halacha. So how is it that Moshe Rabbeinu did it that way? Now, I mentioned at that time that in the late 1800s. In New Orleans, there was many men who married non-Jewish women. And for whatever reason, and it's very, very, very strange, but the wives, the non-Jewish wives, would allow the men to have the children circumcised. And this was, we're not talking today where it's pretty customary, not as much as it used to be, but it's still pretty customary to in hospitals to have children circumcised. So, but the, for whatever reason, the women in those days, and I'm sure you didn't have the painkillers that we have today, but the non-Jewish women that were married to Jewish husbands would let their children be circumcised, and they even allowed them to be circumcised by a moel, but they would not allow the children to be taken to the mikveh in order to have geiris done, in order to complete the geiris, in order to complete the conversion. And the rabbanim, the rabbis in New Orleans, said that any moel, any rabbi or circumciser who performs a bris milah, a circumcision on these children, no one else should use their services for Jewish children. In other words, they were very much opposed to the practice of having children who were not Jewish being circumcised, where there was not going to be a conversion. And at that time, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, who was, and this, the decision of the rabbinate of New Orleans was printed in a newspaper, The Israelite. So because of that, what happened in New Orleans became well known among the rabbis, even in Europe. And Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer was one of the great rabbanim of his time. And my impression is that he was a Talmud of Rav Itzel of Volozhiner. So Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer sent a letter to Rabbi Israel Hiltzheimer. Rabbi Israel Hiltzheimer was the founder and the head, the leader of the Beis Medrash in Berlin, the rabbinical school in Berlin. And he was considered from the great poskim of Germany. And he was a Talmud, he was a student of Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger. And Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer wanted Rabbi Israel Hiltzheimer to join him in a protest against the decision of the Rabbanim in New Orleans. And Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer felt that, on the contrary, that it would be a good thing to have the Moalim circumcise the children that were born to non-Jewish mothers. And Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer gave many reasons for it. One reason he gave is, and really there is a Tshuva Sarambam. The Tshuva Sarambam says that one could perform a bris milah, because generally, under most circumstances, you're not allowed to perform a bris mila. I don't want to go into all the details, but under many circumstances, you're not allowed to perform a bris mila on a non-Jewish child. There's a Tshuvas HaRambam, and in the Tshuvas, the Rambam says, the Rambam's opinion was that a non-Jew who wants to perform mitzvos has a reward for the performance of mitzvos, even though it's mitzvos that he himself, that he is not required in. Now, it's interesting. And the Rambam says this in the Yad HaZochin, Hilchos Malachim also. My impression is that my uncle, the Rav, and Rav Moshe Feinstein, I was told, I did not see in writing from either of them, but I was told by people that they both said that this only has reference to the rational mitzvahs, the mitzvahs that people understand themselves. But to mitzvos that we only know because of the Torah, this halacha doesn't apply. However, from the Tshuvas HaRambam, it seems that it would apply, because the Rambam says that if somebody wants his child circumcised because it's a mitzvah in the Torah, a non-Jew wants his child circumcised because it's a mitzvah in the Torah, so then, on the contrary, you should perform the bris mila. Now, I'm sure that the Rambam was talking about a situation where this would not lead to a michshel. But let's say if as a result of the bris mila, people will begin to identify it. The child is being Jewish, even though the conversion was not completed, then I am sure that everybody would say not to do it. But Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer thought that in the situation in New Orleans, there was no michshel. Now, a person could argue, I'm not there. It's difficult for me to evaluate a situation in a place where you're not there. So, but Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer certainly, in theory, had some solid backing for this halacha, for his psak. So the first reason he gave was because even by a non-Jewish child, there, according to the Rambam, there is a mitzvah to be malim, to circumcise him. Of course, that's only in a situation where it's done because it's a mitzvah in the Torah. But even if it's done as a medical procedure, it should not be done. So that was one reason Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer gave. And Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer gave other reasons, but the main reason was that then he said that if you don't perform bris mila on the child, so then, if you don't perform when he's a baby, that was certainly true in those days. I'm sure in those days you didn't have the painkillers that we have today. So if you don't perform the bris milah on the child, you're closing the door on this child undergoing geiris, undergoing conversion. In other words, he was saying that we really want the child to go through geiris. So we shouldn't close the door, do action that will close the door for him doing conversion. That doesn't mean that you automatically have to accept it. But he felt that the bris milah, that a bris milah should be done. And he felt that, on the contrary, from Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer seemed to think that on the contrary, we really want people to be megayer. It's true. There is a halacha, there is a law that you're not supposed to encourage them to be megayer. You're not supposed to, in a sense, lead them down the path to want to undergo conversion. But nevertheless, it's something that we should have a positive attitude about it. And therefore, we should not close the door to their going through conversion. And then he said another statement, which is not of concern to our shir today, but just mentioned. He said that there is a special mitzvah in trying to get children whose father was Jewish to undergo conversion. And that certainly implies that we should not close the door to them eventually undergoing conversion. That doesn't mean that we're not docha them. We have to see that when they become an adult and they go and decide to go through conversion themselves, because as children, clearly their mothers would not let them be taken to the mikveh. But the Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer felt that there is a special mitzvah, and in a sense, in converting, and in the sense even going out of the way to minimize the pushing aside by someone whose father was Jewish and the mother wasn't Jewish. And he said it's a halacha b'zerah kodesh. And personally, I think that under certain circumstances, the Rambam seems to have had that opinion, but that's not the topic. That's not the topic of this year. Now, however, Rav Azriel Hiltzheimer, he disagreed with Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer. And Rav Azriel Hiltzheimer said, we should have an attitude of not trying to make the conversion process easier. The halacha being docha, of pushing them aside, means that we do not try to make the process easier. And he, of course, disagreed. He disagreed with all the arguments of Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer. And Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, I want to explain. Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer said, and the question is, the halacha is you have to be docha. You have to push them aside. So how could you say on one hand, we want them to convert. On the other hand, on the other hand, we're docha them, we push them aside. But I think we can understand it in one of two ways. One way is because the halacha is that in other words, we are docha, we push aside because we want to see, it has to be proven to us that they have become truly committed. So it's not that we don't want to make it easier. We want to make it easier, but we don't want the making it easy, the halacha of not making it easier is not a halacha that of pushing them. It's not a halacha that we demonstrate we don't want them to convert, but it's a halacha of trying to have them prove, we want to see that they really have a desire to undergo conversion. Now, obviously, when a woman undergoes conversion, Bertzvi Hirschkalisch didn't mention this, but this is obviously what he meant. When a woman undergoes conversion, and she certainly doesn't require bris milah, nevertheless, at a certain point, we become convinced that she wants to be committed to Torah and mitzvot, that she sincerely wants to be Jewish. So if it's proof by a woman, why shouldn't it be proof by a man? So therefore, performing the bris milah earlier does not take away from the proof that the person will be committed to Torah and mitzvahs. And I should add that Rav Yashuv, I saw a psak from Rav Yashuv, actually was written by, I think, the son-in-law of Rav Yashuv, in Rav Yashuv's name, that we shouldn't be docha too much where the father is Jewish. And he mentioned the same reason as Rav Israel Hilsheimer, Rav Tzvi Hirschkalischer, because of Zera Kodesh. And I heard from the person that was, I think Rabbi Goldsmith, he was the chief rabbi of Moscow. I read that he now left that position. But he mentioned to me, once he spoke at a conference about the conference about Geirus. So Rabbi Goldsmith mentioned to me that my father's cousin, who lived in England, was a great Gaon and a great Talmud Chacham. He was considered from the outstanding Talmidim of the Chazon Ish. And he is the one that when Russia opened up, he's had the same name I have, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. So he gave instructions. He gave instructions on many aspects of Jewish life, how to handle many aspects of Jewish life in Moscow. So he said that where the father is Jewish, according, if my memory serves me correctly, this is what Rabbi Goldsmith told me. If where the father is Jewish and the person wants to undergo Geirus, and assuming that he is completely Shomer Torah, he's committed to observe Shomer Torah mitzvos, we don't push him aside. And again, I think what Rabbi Goldsmith told me was that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Zatzal, said that we only are docha, we only push aside where the person is committed to Torah and mitzvos, because we're not sure what the reason, whether the reason he has to go through Geirus, through Torah, and to go through conversion, is a sincere reason. But where we know that the reason is because his father was Jewish, and that's why he wants to return to the faith of his father. And I'm assuming where he will be, Shomer Torah and Mitzvos, he'll observe the Torah and Mitzvos. So then you don't have to be docha. You don't have to push them aside. Now but as far, that's as far as the halacha where the father himself was Jewish. But the question is where the father wasn't Jewish. How we understand? So you have to be docha, you have to push aside. So according to Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, it's only in order to serve as proof that the person will be a dedicated Jew. So we could suggest that Moshe Rabbeinu understood. He knew Yisrael. Yisrael was his father-in-law. He lived many years together with Yisrael. And Yisrael was a person who, in a sense, examined all the other religions. And he found them all to be false. So Moshe Rabbeinu felt there was no purpose here in not encouraging him to go through Geirus. Because the only reason we don't encourage, and on the contrary, we push them off, is because we want to make sure that they will be dedicated to Torah and Mitzvos. So Moshe Rabbeinu, because the way he understood Yisrael, so if we could suggest that it was mutter for him to encourage Yisroel to undergo conversion. Now, I want to suggest, now this halacha though, that, so one reason why we docha, why we push away, is because we want to make sure that they've committed to Torah and Mitzvos. And in Yisrael's case, that clearly wasn't a problem because Moshe Rabbeinu knew that Yisrael was dedicated to Torah and Mitzvos. And I think that there is an additional reason. And from the Rambam, it appears that way, because the Rambam talks, and we'll get into it hopefully in a few minutes, but the Rambam talks about people who underwent conversion for ulterior motives. And while the Rambam discourages it, he says, because the, it's, it, he says, the a gear that we didn't check out, converted for ulterior motives, but we didn't check out. So there seems to be a contradiction, and he wasn't observant whether the conversion is good or the conversion is no good. But he says you have to be careful who you let convert. He says, "Neza amru chachamim kashim lahem gel Yisrael neged tzaras." He says, under certain circumstances, certain types of gerim, those who are not committed to Jewish tradition, those who are not dedicated to the Torah. So, in a sense, they cause difficulty for the Jewish people. Why? Because ultimately, they lead the Jewish people astray. And v'kasha dava lifrosh mehem, and once they become part of the Jewish people, it becomes difficult not to be influenced by them after they converted. And he says, look at the Dor HaMidbar, at the Jewish people who went through the desert. How many times they rebelled against the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, against God, against the Torah. Very often, why was it? Let's say Ma'isa Egel, Kibros HaTaiva. Why was it? He said, because their conversion was not for the proper reason. There were Egyptians who, for whatever reason, at the time of the Exodus, converted to Erev Rav. But because they did not have the proper motive, they led the Jew astray. So we could suggest that part of the reason for not allowing these type of conversions is not just or only because we want to make sure that the person will remain committed to Torah and mitzvahs. But in a certain sense, if we do these improper conversions, we will be playing a role, not just in this ger, violating the mitzvahs of the Torah, but we will play a role in causing many Jews. It could be an open influence, and it could be a quiet influence. We are all influenced by our environment. Look, things that a few years ago were considered abominations, because they became accepted by the community. Today, people, even within the Jewish community, are beginning, they're not, very few are doing it themselves, but they don't look at it the same way they looked at it before. Why? Because we are, our attitudes are influenced by our environment. So the same thing is true here. If we perform a conversion that the convert does not have the proper attitude, so to a certain degree, we're not only contributing to the convert not following the commandments that he is now required in, but we play a role in other people acting improperly, because these converts will have an influence on others as well. And I want to, it's interesting, one of the big problems that we are facing in Eretz Yisrael today is from many of the Jewish people, or the Jewish community, I should say, rather than Jewish people, Jewish community from Russia that have come to Eretz Yisrael. Now, those that are Jewish, halachically, there is no problem. But in Eretz Yisrael, there is a growing problem because of the intermarriage that took place, and they're still part of the Jewish community. And the problem is that this will lead to to further into marriage. And someone suggested a big Talmud Chacham. Since I'm going to raise some questions, I don't want to mention his name, but in no way am I trying to take away from his knowledge of Torah. A certain Talmud Chacham suggested that there is a dispute between Rav Moshe Feinstein and many other poskim. There is a halach of a ger katan, of a, let's say, a couple wants to adopt a child. So for whatever reason, so let's say the child that they adopt so has to undergo conversion, but he doesn't have das. He's not at yet. Usually this child is maybe 30 days old, whatever it might be. He's not yet at the age of maturity that he could make a mature decision, not halachically. And very often he doesn't understand what conversion is in fact. So how do we perform a conversion on these young children? And so Rav Moshe Feinstein, so the Gemara says that there is a halach of ger katan, of converting a young child, one who has not yet reached the age of reason. And how what we do is the Bezdin, Aldaz Bezdin, acts on his behalf and converts him to Judaism. And the big question comes up, what happens if the family that is adopting this child, the family that brings this child to the Bezdin to undergo conversion, but the family themselves are not observant, And many poskim, including Rav Henkin, and I was told that Rav Baron Cutler also felt that way, that if there isn't a certain degree of Shmiras HaMitzvahs, the way I had a Rebbe in high school, Shmuel David Herman, he was a student of Rav Baron Cutler. I was a freshman in high school, so this is based on memory when I was 14 years old, but if I remember correctly, he said the Rav Baron Cutler said that the conversion should only be performed on a young child if the family will observe Taharas Mishpacha, will observe Kashrus, and will observe Shabbos and the Yomim Tov. Otherwise, the conversion should not be performed on the child. Why? Because the Gemara says, by what right does the Bezdin have to convert the young child? The Bezdin's right to convert the young child is based on the fact that it's considered a schus. It's in his interest to be Jewish. So Bezdin, in converting him, is doing something that is in his interest. So, but if this was the argument that was given by Rav Henkin, by apparently Rav Baron Cutler, that if the family that's adopting the child and converts the child will not be observant or to a certain degree observant. So when you convert him, it's not in his interest to be converted, because he'll just be doing averos. Because if he's brought up in a home where mitzvos are not generally being observed, so he also won't observe Torah and mitzvos, so he will be violating the commandments. How is it in his interest to be required in the mitzvos and not to perform the mitzvos? This was the opinion of Rav Aaron Cutler, where it was told over, and Rav Henkin. However, it was brought down in the name of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Tzatzal. Rav Moshe Feinstein said, no, being Jewish is in the interest of the child. Even if the child is going to be brought up in a home that's not kosher. There was a situation down south where a child who in all likelihood would have gone to the day school, his parents were active in the day school. The mother, although she went through conversion, did not go through Orthodox conversion. So halachically was not considered Jewish. And the parents were active in the day school. They played a major role in the day school. And the question was whether they could convert that child. And Rav Moshe Feinstein said that there was a big problem in the city. Many people threatened not to give money to the day school if the child would not be converted, if the child would be not allowed in the day school. And the teachers, on the other hand, said that if the child comes into the day school, they're all going to walk away, leave their jobs. But what was finally agreed was the way that the shaila should be handed over to Rav Moshe Feinstein. And Rav Moshe Feinstein felt that it is in the interest of a child to be Jewish, even where the parents are not observant. It could be that there are certain limitations, but it's generally in the interest of the child. And unless the child will reject what was done to him at the time of his bar mitzvah, before his bar mitzvah, so the conversion could be done on the child. So one of the great Talmud Chacham suggested, in order to alleviate the problem in Israel, he suggested that they should not convert the adults, but they should only convert the children. So true, the parents aren't observant. Parents won't be required in mitzvahs anyway because they're not Jewish. Doesn't make a difference. And according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, not saying that everybody agrees, but according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, an adult who undergoes conversion has to be committed to Torah and mitzvahs. But a child does not have to be in a situation of commitment to Torah and mitzvahs. So This Talmud Chacham, who was a Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, so he suggested, let us convert the children and not the adults. Obviously, the children will be brought up in an environment where Torah and mitzvot will not be observed, and perhaps there would even be a negative attitude to Torah and mitzvot. So I talked at that time when I heard about it. I talked to Hagaon Rav Aaron Felder, was a very close friend of mine. He was the head of the Beis Din in Philadelphia, and he was a very close Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein. And he said that case was different with Rav Moshe Paskin. He said there the child, I remember him using the words, was going to a day school, would be going to a day school that was part of Torah Mesorah. In other words, I don't think it's the organization of Torah Mesorah. It's the fact that it would be an Orthodox environment. So he felt that even in spite of the fact, so this is the way I understood what he said, that in spite of the fact that the child is in a family that was not observant, nevertheless, since he'll be receiving a religious education that conforms to the Torah, it could be considered in his merit to undergo conversion. This is what Rav Aaron felt. However, I heard the name of other Talmidim who were extremely close to Rav Moshe Feinstein, that they felt differently. They felt that the conversion would be good in any case, because it's a merit for the child. It's a merit for the child just to be Jewish. And the Rav Moshe Feinstein said, of course, the halacha is that when the child reaches the age of maturity, when he becomes bar mitzvah, you ask the child, do you like being Jewish? You don't even have to ask about Torah and mitzvahs, I was told. You just have to ask him whether he likes being Jewish. That part I was told also. I was told by Rav Aaron Felder also. So it seems that there seems to have been a dispute among the students of Rav Moshe Feinstein whether it was in that particular case where the child was receiving a religious education, or this applies in other cases as well, at least a bit the evidence. Now, I want to suggest that perhaps on the basis of what I just said, that perhaps even if we assume, and it's very likely that, as many say, that Rav Moshe Feinstein said the Geirus would be good, but it's very likely that this halacha would only apply when you deal with one individual. So if you have one individual child, so you could say, there isn't a real isur in converting the child, because that child will not have a negative influence on the environment. But if you do it in mass, if you convert, I'm not paskening, I'm just raising this question. If you take all the children of the Russian immigrants and you convert them, and they will grow up in an environment that not only isn't dedicated to Torah and mitzvos, but very likely is against Torah and mitzvos. Especially since the mother won't be Jewish herself. So you might be over this issue of contributing to making the environment such that it would mislead Jews and get them to leave the observance of Torah and mitzvos, just as the Rambam says, Kashim lahem gerim li Yisrael k'neged tzaras. In other words, all these heterim only apply where we don't have to worry. But if we have to worry that they will have an influence on the environment, and certainly where you do gayness en masse, we have to worry about it. So it could be that there is a prohibition. I'm not getting into the question whether the conversion is kosher or the conversion is not kosher, but just that it would be, I think there is good logic to suggest that to enact that approach would violate this prohibition. Of course, to assume that you are contributing to the environment being such through Geirus, to the environment being such to lead people astray and to deviate from Torah and mitzvahs. Anyway, but in any case, the question is, so in other words, we could suggest that an evaluation has to be made whether the act is considered prohibitive, or let me see what time it is. All right. Well, the question is whether the act would be considered converting people will result in other people being led off the path of Torah and mitzvos or not. And of course, we have to make an evaluation as to whether the person is really committed, as to whether a person is really committed to Torah and mitzvos for the proper reasons. Now, if you take a look, the simple reading of the Rambam, of course, there are all kinds of situations, but the simple reading of the Rambam is that it's not enough that the person should commit himself to Torah and mitzvos, that the ger, in order to allow for conversion, should commit himself to the observance of Torah and mitzvos, but it should be done for the right reasons. In other words, it should be lishma, for the sake of heaven. So the question arises, though, what happens if the conversion is not done for the sake of heaven? It's done for ulterior motives. Are you allowed to perform the conversion after the fact, even if it's not done lishma? The conversion is probably good. Even if it's done, even if the person has ulterior motives for his conversion, but he is committed to Torah and mitzvos, so the conversion is good. But the question is, but you're not allowed under normal circumstances. Of course, there are situations that perhaps it is allowed, but under normal circumstances, it's not allowed unless the person is committed to Torah and mitzvos. But we know that they're doing it for ulterior motives. So Tosfos mentions, we see, that Hillel, and they mentions other cases also where Tanoim perform conversions that were done for ulterior motives. So the question is, but it wasn't lishma, it wasn't for the sake of heaven. They did it for ulterior motives. So Tosfos says, because Hillel's one of those who performed such conversions. Hillel understood that the person eventually will have the proper motive. So where it's a question of the proper motive, so the Bezdin can decide that it's done properly, that the ger has the proper motive. However, Rav Elyashiv, I was told by Rav Nachum Eisenstein, who was the one of the secretaries of Rav Elyashiv, specifically when it came to in regard to halachas conversion, that Rav Elyashiv felt that. He says, Hillel was able to determine. I pointed out the Beis Yosef mentions it, the halacha. It's brought down in the Beis Yosef as a halacha. So even after the time of Hillel, but it's very likely a person would say it's one thing in the time of the Beis Yosef, it's another thing in our time as well. This is only in regard to the halacha of lishma. But this is only in regard to the halacha of lishma. The evaluation about whether a person will be observant or not, what Tosfos says doesn't necessarily apply. In other words, somebody will come to Beis Din and say, I'm not going to observe Torah mitzvahs, but the Beis Din sees who they're dealing with, and they'll see that eventually they'll become the observant. Beis Din on that basis can't perform a geirus, can't to perform a conversion. But it's interesting that, so the question is, who has the power over geirus to make determinations in halacha? Now, if you take a look by Yisro, when Yisro leaves, when Yisrael leaves Moshe, so the Torah tells us in Perek Yud Ches, Vayishalach Moshe Eskosno Vayelech Lo El Arzo. Moshe sent his father-in-law and he went off. He went off to his land. So the Rashi says, why did Yisrael go off to his land? So Rashi says, "Vayelech lo la'artzo." He went off to his land, "Legayer b'nei mishpachto," to convert the members of his family. So the question is, where do we see in this pasuk? What led Rashi to say that Yisro went to convert the member of his family? So there are a number of pshatim. There's Raya from Shoftim. But if the proof had been from a pasuk in Shoftim, Rashi should have mentioned the pasuk in Shoftim. If Rashi doesn't mention the pasuk in Shoftim that there were converts from the house of Yisro, doesn't even say there that Yisro converted them, but Rashi doesn't even mention it, it seems to imply that from the pasuk itself, there is an implication that Yisro was going to his land, to Eretz Midyan. And we know that the Midianites, it's brought down in regard to the halacha Bikurim, that the descendants of Yisro, because they got a portion in the land of Eretz Yisrael, they can bring Bikurim, and they say the Parsha Bikurim, so they became Jewish. But the question is, where in this pasuk is it implied that Yisro went to his land to perform conversion? And the Sifsek Hachamim says, because it says Vayishlaf Moshe's Kosno, Vayelef Lo Alarzo, Moshe sent him. Why does the Torah emphasize that Moshe sent him, Vayelech Lo La'artso, he went to his land? So he went, Vayishlach Lo Moshe, is not that just that Moshe accompanied him, as some of the Mepharshim explained, but Rashi understood that Yisro was going as an agent of Moshe Rabbeinu. How we can understand that? Now, it's very interesting that the Rambam, I'm going to have to cut this shiur short because I see it's late already, but just very quickly, the Rambam says that let's say somebody underwent conversion and he did not have the proper motive of undergoing conversion. And still the Bezdin Hagadol, and he says, in the time of David, there were many such conversions also. So the Bezdin HaGadol were not Mekarev, did not bring the converts close, but didn't push them away either. So the question is, what's this about the Bezdin HaGadol? What does it mean? And he says, so it seems from the Rambam, and this, there are contradictions in the Rambam, whether the wives of Shlomo, they certainly did not have the proper motive. And according to many, they were never observant. But that's a separate question. Some say that initially they were observant. So it seems, and nevertheless, so from what some expressions in the Rambam, it seems that their conversion was not good. In some expressions, it seems that Shlomo kept them as wives anyway, even though at the end everybody was convinced that from the very beginning they were not really committed to Torah and mitzvos. There are all kinds of contradictions, but it seems, and the Rambam says, that when a person did not have the proper attitude, but went through Torah and mitzvot, the Bezdin HaGadol sees what's his end, whether he will remain committed or he won't remain committed to Torah and mitzvot. It seems that the Bezdin HaGadol, the High Court of Israel, has the power to remove the status of being Jewish, certainly from converts, if they did not act properly. And it seems from the Keren Orah explains the Gemara, there are two Gemaras in Yevamos. My father would very often mention it. There are two Gemaras in Yevamos there was an area, Tarmut, that there were descendants of the ten tribes there. And the question was, can you marry people, let's say if people from Talmud would convert? Maybe they were Jewish, maybe they were descendants of the ten tribes, and maybe they were Mamzerim, because they certainly didn't follow the halacha. And we don't know whether their marriages, the divorces that they had were good divorces. And the Gemara mentions also that at a certain point, the Kusim, that was a group of people who converted. And at one point, it was discovered that they were worshiping a Dmusiona, an idol shaped like a bird. And the Chachamim declared them non-Jewish. And the Rambam seems to say that Midiraisa, biblically, they became non-Jewish. How could the Chachamim declare them non-Jewish? So the Keren Orah says in the case of the ten shvatim, banim zarim yuladu. The Gemara says they had descendants that were foreign. So the Karnora says, well, so what? So the Karnora says, the Chachamim, the sages, and when there was a Bezdin HaGadol, the Bezdin HaGadol had the power to declare people non-Jewish. So the Bezdin HaGadol declared that the people from Talmud, the people in Talmud were not Jewish, even though they were Jewish. Genetically, they were Jewish. But the Bezdin HaGadol was able to remove their Jewishness. And we could even suggest that perhaps, even though that the an evaluation could be made, that the people in Parma, this the Karanara doesn't say, but we could say, and there's reason to that the 10 tribes, they intermarried a lot. That probably the war, at least initially, 10, there were generations, they were intermarried with Gerim, converts. It could be initially they intermarried with converts and there is historical reason to believe that. I mean, so we could say, I'm sorry, take that back. But they might have intermarried with converts. So almost all of them that were Jewish, somewhere down the line, they were intermarried with converts, and it could be that these converts did not have the proper attitude, and perhaps weren't even didn't remain observant. So consequently, the Bezdin was able to remove the Gerus. But even if we don't say that, we could say that Bezdin can remove their sanctity in any case. And the same thing is true. The same thing is true about the Kusim. The Kusim were certainly converts. And it could be that when they founded Mishyana was much later. But the Chachamim realized that up to that point, They never really became truly devoted to Torah and mitzvos. So the Chachamim were able to remove their Kedushas Yisrael, and certainly the Chachamim were able to nullify their conversions, the Kedushas Yisrael that emanated from their conversions. So in other words, Kedushas Yisrael, the sanctity of a Jew, is dependent upon the high courts of Israel. And we could say that when there is no High Court of Israel, it's the Chachmei HaMesorah. We don't have either today. But so we could suggest here, if the High Court of Israel, the Jewish status, we don't even have to go into the conversion thing. If Jewish status is dependent to the High Courts of Israel, and the High Courts of Israel can remove the Jewish status, the High Courts of Israel could make a determination, just like in regard to Kiddush HaChodesh, the High Courts of Israel to decide which Bate Dinim the declaration of the new month should be considered good, and which Bate Dinim the declaration of the new month should not be good. So the High Courts of Israel could have a power to determine which courts could perform conversion and to determine if those conversions were good, if there was the proper attitude or there wasn't the proper attitude. And if there wasn't the proper attitude, the High Courts of Israel could suggest that the conversion is not good. It could be the wives of Shlomo, it was proven that their conversion was for the wrong reasons, and perhaps they were never completely observant. But it was difficult to remove the sanctity of the wives of the king. But of others, the High Courts of Israel had that power. So the High Courts of Israel wait sometimes to see what would be the end of the convert, whether the convert would mean dedicated to Torah, dedicated to God, dedicated to the Jewish people or not. And it could be that's now Moshe had a din like the High Court of Israel. So Moshe, in a sense, was giving a license and allowed for Yisrael. Moshe knew the family of Yisrael. He was brought up in Eretz Midyan. He was the son-in-law of Yisrael. He knew the people there. It wasn't just Yisrael that he knew. He knew the family of Yisrael as well. So Moshe Rabbeinu sent him. Moshe Rabbeinu sent him to perform conversions. So Yisrael was acting on the strength, to a certain degree, on the strength of Moshe Rabbeinu in performing those conversions. And Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that I accept those conversions that Yisrael will perform. So the High Court of Israel, in a sense, was recognizing the conversions of Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was the High Court of Israel. Okay, sorry I went so long.
Okay, a few questions. Did Yisrael have a beis din to convert the member of his the members of his family?
Since it was after Matan Torah, as it seems from the pasuk, so he probably had a beis din to do it.
Another question: did Ezra convert children of mixed marriages in the time of the beginning?
It's a machlokus among the Mefarshim, whether Ezra did or he felt at that time, because of the impact that they had on the society, not to convert any of them. So there seems to be a machlokus among the Mefarshim on Ezra there at the end. A dispute.
If a whole community wanted to convert, is that something that has to be carefully investigated? Because you mentioned about mass conversions, about, let's say, the Soviet immigrants.
If the whole community, yeah, but here, first of all, there it's different. But do you know that you have to investigate every individual? There's no question about that. You have to investigate every individual. You have to investigate the community as a whole, because both will contribute. But once they join the Jewish people, they're going to have an influence on the Jewish people. So they have to be investigated. And if they're not going to join the Jewish people, you know, the world has grown much smaller. Their children will go to Israel and they will have an influence. So we have to feel assured that we have to feel reasonably assured that they will not mislead the Jewish people or create a non-proper atmosphere. My assumption is that when they convert communities, these communities are evaluated properly. I wasn't there. I can't tell. I know of one situation only, and I know the one who did it. My assumption is that he did a good job. That's all I could say.
Okay, thank you very much.